Today, it's going to be, like Pastor said, her last sermon last Sunday is not easy to just talk about. Facing failure. Its basic main focus is on Peter's denial. And so, we're going to talk about Peter's denial and what we can learn from it. And so, go ahead, Matt. You stand for the reading of God's word, please. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, and then some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together. And Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. After an hour later, another assured, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord has spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. You may be seated. How can such a mighty follower of Christ as Simon Peter was fall in such a short time? How can that happen? He even called down curses. Now, the curses he called down weren't vulgarities. The fact is, he was calling down curses on himself. "If I'm lying, I'm cursing myself," which is quite a denial. So how can this happen? How can temptation be that powerful? How can it be that effective? In Luke's account, it contains one detail that the others do not. It's where it says Jesus looked right at him. What kind of a look? Doesn't record it. Was it disgust, disdain, condemnation, hurt? I choose to believe it was one of compassion. Amen. Peter's denial of Jesus speaks to any who find themselves in a situation where they are tempted to turn away from the Lord or deny their faith. And as we know, Scripture says, everyone has fallen short. Everyone has sinned. There's no exception. None. So what can we learn from the human frailty? One of the reasons he fell, people were frail. Peter's actions on the night of Jesus' betrayal was the epitome of human frailty. Peter's denial reminds us that even the most dedicated and faithful individuals can succumb to fear and doubt. Peter's denial highlights the destructive nature of pride. Pride. In one of our groups, we're discussing how pride's a big deal, at least in my experience. For some reason, I'll tell you how pride. I was involved in an avocation that I made my God. I still am to a certain extent, but he hadn't made it my God. You think, well, how can that be? I'll give you an example and then I'll let it go. Somebody needs to hear this for some reason. I get an assignment that is coveted by my avocation I was involved in that was the pinnacle of success. Everybody wanted this job, this assignment, so I get it. And at the time, I go to my employer and I say, I'm going to be gone from this date to that date. This is my job now. My employer said, I don't know, I was awful busy during that time. I don't know if I can let you go. And I said, you're misunderstanding me. I'm not asking you permission. I'm going to be gone. If I come back and I have a job, okay. If I don't, so be it. That's how important it was to me. Okay? And then it wasn't, after I met, Sherry was in my life. She mentioned one day, she said, we need to go to church. So we started going back. I started going back to church. And then I decided I'm going to give up this avocation. I'm going to quit cold turkey. I can't serve two masters. Amen. Cannot. I tried. Doesn't work. So I gave it up, just cold turkey. After a few weeks, Sherry says, did God tell you to do that? Or did you just do it on your own? I thought about it and said, I just did it on my own. I said, why do you ask? She said, for the past few weeks, you've been absolutely miserable to live with. And just as clear as I'm talking to you, God said, Glenn, it's okay. Just don't make it more important than me. It wasn't long after that, I got a phone call and said, we need you to come back. We need your help. And so I did. But I had to be careful because I enjoyed this so much. It would be so easy for me to slip over the line again. So pride is a big deal, at least in my experience, in my life. Humility. What does the scripture say? We all, probably most of us know it. If my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves and pray. And so I still have to be careful that something I'm involved in, that pride will make it more important. And that was Peter. Peter's pride. Peter's pride. We'll have it. And Peter must have felt ashamed and humiliated when Jesus looked at him. When we embrace humility, we recognize that our strength comes from God rather than from my own abilities. I can't do this on my own. I can't. If I get to thinking I can do it on my own, okay? That's what happens. It is. That's what happens in my life. And then you can have overconfidence in your faith. Look at Peter's, I'll go to death with you. I'll never do that. Well, you can all sit here and say, I'd never do what Peter did. But the truth is, we're just like him. Yeah. Huh. Temptation comes, and for whatever reason. And so, overconfidence. Overconfidence. His loyalty, after his declaration of loyalty, didn't seem to matter, did it? But I do believe that Christ, when he looked at Peter, was that of compassion and not condemnation. And then, I think it helps us to recognize when we're most vulnerable. We're most vulnerable, believe it or not, after we've had great success. You all know the story of Peter. Who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus said, the Father must have revealed this to you. Two verses later, get thee behind me, Satan. Oops. Great success. That's when you're vulnerable. Mountain climbers will tell you, I don't do this, I don't like climbing mountains, but The most dangerous part is not going up, it's coming down, because once the euphoria wells off of reaching the summit, they go down and they think, well, they do stupid stuff. Great success. The other example would be Elijah. Okay? He called down fire on Mount Carmel from heaven, got rid of all the bad guys, right? And then Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. What he did, he runs from a woman, hides in the cave, asks God to kill him. After great success, you're vulnerable. You are. And Satan knows that. Satan knows when you're most vulnerable. And when you're most susceptible, when you're exhausted physically and emotionally. Even secular psychologists will tell you, if you're exhausted physically and emotionally, clouds your judgment. You do not make good decisions. That happened. Again, Elijah, he was exhausted physically. Esau gave up his birthright for what?
Bowl of soup.
Because he was hungry. When you're physically and emotionally exhausted, it also comes to mind when Satan comes after you. It's not recorded in Scripture. This is my opinion now. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Totally human. Totally human. I think I can't speak for all of you. At least I do. I tend to focus more on his divinity. We don't like to think of him being totally human because he experienced every feeling, every emotion, every temptation that's common to man. Which means in the garden, my idea would be that Satan comes after him with everything he can stand. That's when Jesus was most vulnerable. The hour's coming. Time's running out. Three times Jesus asked the Father, is there any way? And Matthew records, we all seen the picture of Jesus having his hands folded praying in the garden, right? Matthew records that Jesus was on his face. On his face. The Son of the living God's on his face. He's so anguished, he falls on his face and prostrates himself, asking the Father, says, hey, man, this don't look so good, because the humanity's in him, the fear. Of course he's afraid. But he suffered every temptation that we have, yet without sin. But in the end, it was what? Not my will, but thine. And so when you're tired and exhausted is when Satan's going to come after you. And if you're aware of that, you can guard against that kind of that temptation. And when you are alone, because guess what? Satan says, nobody can see what you're doing. Huh? When you feel lonely, loneliness, and that's when Satan will come after you with temptation and say, hey, does God really love you? Why are you going through this? Is he really there? Does he even exist? He'll just keep coming after you. You're susceptible when you have the feeling of loneliness or you are alone. And so if you're aware, that can happen. It comes after you with that. So, and when you're waiting on God, there are times when God is silent. Let's be honest here. And a movie I was watching this the other day, when it says, have you ever noticed that when you have to take a test, that the test giver is silent? When you're waiting on God, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable. Whatever you're waiting for, promises he's made to you, whatever it is. Abraham couldn't wait, could he? So guess what? The problems we've got, Abraham couldn't wait. Waiting on God, well, you're vulnerable. Abraham was vulnerable. And that's where the failure. Now, after I said all that, here's the good news. No matter how grave your mistake, you can find redemption in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the deal. No matter how big you think your mistake is, you find redemption in Jesus Christ. And is there anything you can do that he won't forgive you for or have done? Huh? He'll not love you any less. Can't. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. Amen. Can't. And so that's the good news. And if Peter, we know that this doesn't end. Peter's story goes on, doesn't it? Huh? Failure does not have to define us. We don't have to stay there. The key is that you ask for true repentance and forgiveness when you do. And you'll always find it. The Lord was understanding and compassionate toward Peter, and he will be toward us as well. If Peter can fall, anybody can.
Amen.
However, at the same time, if Peter can come back, anybody can. I still hope for me. So if Peter can come back, and boy, did he ever come back. Huh? He did. Because he went, as you read the scripture, he went and wept, what? Bitterly. Remorse hit him immediately. You can imagine the humiliation, how badly he must have felt. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. But our failures, we can learn from. Opportunities for growth. We can. Learn from the mistakes. Learn from our mistakes. Opportunities for growth spiritually. Strengthen your faith, even though we've failed at times. Okay? This sermon maybe seems short to you, but that's what I've got. That's it.